Thank you, Peter. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we continue on volume 30, 626, 1932. A proxyllius of sacrifice wanted by God says great things. Okay, so Jesus wanted this suffering that Louisa went through, this long suffering that Louisa went through, was wanted by God. Now, a lot of times we see souls that are, you know, suffering for a great long time, and we call them victim souls. Well, in the divine will, Jesus is calling us to be victims as well. Okay. And it's not the victims of the victimhood of the saints. See, the saints' lives are a soul that is suffering continuously is necessary. Jesus explains this. But for us, our suffering is not to give life to our human will. Jesus is asking us not to worry or be fearful or be anxious, complaining, negative, not to doubt anymore, to trust in him. And this is the victimhood that we go through, not to give life to our misery. And this is why we do our prevenient act in the morning and our actual acts. We say to Jesus, I don't want to continue to live this life separated from God's divine will. I want to begin to live the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary that you've given to Louisa. So the consequences of our victimhood is to be peaceful, joyful, and happy. The consequences of not to live in our misery is to be peaceful, joyful, and happy. So when my spiritual director told me, you know, when I was in the seminary, he said, be careful of those religious who are not happy. Be careful of those religious who do not have a joyful spirit. He said, there's something wrong. St. Francis says the same thing. St. Francis said to really pray is to be joy-filled. If you're not joyful when you're praying, he says, you're not praying. Prayer is intimacy with God, oneness with God. And therefore, God is calling us to this. So she says, this sacrifice, this long sacrifice wanted by God says great things. It says universal good, Catholic good. Sweet chains that binds God and men. We triune God ourselves don't feel like escaping from the maze of these chains, this suffering. So long that the creature forms for us by a continuous sacrifice. So God says that he is with us when we're going through this victimhood of living in the divine will. He says this suffering of not giving life to our misery. He says God doesn't want to be separated from that as well. He wants us to struggle through this. And when we fail, we go to confession. This is why we go to confession each week. We're always failing. Blessed be Father, for I have sinned. This is what I thought. This is what I said. This is what I did. This is what I failed to do. This is my human will. And I don't want to live like this. I want to turn back to God. I want to be one with God in the peace and the joy of heaven on earth. So Jesus says this. On the contrary, it is so sweet and dear to us that we let ourselves be bound by the soul as she herself best pleases. Now, by his 100-year sacrifice, Noah brought back the continuation of the human generations. Noah built this ark. It took him 100 years to build the ark. And he was mocked and he was ridiculed and he was laughed at. He was, you know, you're building a boat in this desert. What's wrong with you? you know, and he was faithful to God, and he built that boat. He was the only, God said in scripture, it says he was the only one who had a pure life. They had a pure line back to Adam and Eve. Everyone else was interbred by the sons of God and the Nephilim. Figure that one out. Jesus said it would be like in the time of Noah when he returns. What is the time of Noah? Interbred by that which was not of God. Do you see what we're going through now? This change, trying to change our DNA. God is in charge, and God's going to take care of all his little peons, all his little newborns, all the little children of the Holy Divine Will. This is something that he keeps on telling Louisa. Nothing to fear, nothing to be worried about. But if you can't see what's happening now, what's coming is it'll be more serious things. And if you can't stand up for what you believe now, how can you stand up when the Antichrist comes and says, you know, that he is the Messiah, he is God? So I got it. God is testing us. And if we can get through this little battle, the next battles will be easier. If we can't get through this battle that we're in right now, then we probably won't have the strength to be facing the next battle. So Noah, his 100-year sacrifice of building the ark, brought back the continuation of the human generations. God started over again. He washed the world clean of this interbreeding, and he began again with one pure family, a pure line back to Adam and Eve. This is something that's very important. Today, we have one person, one who has a pure line to Jesus and Mary. One who has that pure line. What's coming is going to be more difficult than what Noah went through. And God says that this continuation of the human generation is essential to God. So he's giving us the way and the how to get through what's coming. And that is with the book of heaven. All the promises, all the manifestations, all the truths that he gave to Louisa, all these knowledges he gave to her are going to help us to get through what's coming. And as we read, as we study, as we put this into practice, we become more confident in God. We trust him more than ever before. You know, we are living in a very similar way, as Jesus said, in the time that he returns, it will be like the time of Noah, where they want to change our DNA. Think about what that means. He says very, very clearly to us, daughter, when I, God, want to give a great good, a new good to creatures, I, God, give new crosses. And I, God, want a new and unique sacrifice, a cross for which the human can give itself no reason. Okay, so that's where we are. The thing that the Lord gives us is our own cross. Jesus embraced his cross. Jesus embraced his cross. What do we do with our cross? What do we do with our life? Are we dragging our cross behind us, complaining, being negative? I don't think that's what God wants for us. He wants us to trust in him, to believe in him, to have confidence in him. That's what God is waiting for. When I, God, want to give a great good, a new good to creatures, I mean, that's with the Sacred Heart of Jesus, that's with the Divine Mercy. I give new crosses, and I want a new and unique sacrifice, a cross for which the human can give itself no reason, but there is my divine reason that man is obliged to not investigate. People say to me, well, how come Thomas Aquinas didn't talk about this? Well, he did, in a way, when he didn't finish his Summa. He says, what I'm writing is mere straw compared to what God is going to bring upon the earth. And he stopped writing the Summa. I think Jesus showed him the book of heaven. It's the easy way. It's a simple way. This is for children who can say fiat, let it be done as you wish. Jesus says, not to investigate. Oh, that's it. Not to investigate, not to try to see what happens sometimes with truths that God gives. And you can look at some of the apparitions that are not approved. Some of the things that we're going through today, where people say, give me some proof, give me a sign, you know, and Jesus says this to his apostles, this is a corrupt age. There will be no sign given except the sign of Jonah. And that is 3 days in the grave. Things are coming. And when we cannot humbly say, as Our Lady did, fiat mihi, then God will say, then you have to step aside. And we don't want to hear that from God. So Jesus says very, very clearly, but to lower his forehead and adore it. That's one of the things that's so amazing, like with Bernadette at Lourdes, like the children at Fatima, Sister Agatha, I can't think of her name, at Akita, Melanie at La Salette. They said what they had to, which they responded what Our Lady told them, and those that agreed lowered their foreheads and adored it. The bishop down in Guadalupe, he lowered his head and adored it. There will be great things happening. And our job is to, well, you have to test all things. Yeah, you test it. But when you recognize it's from God, you just lower your head and adore it. And besides this, this was about the kingdom of my divine will. My love had to invent and want new crosses and sacrifices never before received to be able to find pretext, prop, pop, and strength, sufficient coins and an extremely long chains to let itself be bound by the creature. So again, let's look at John Paul II. John Paul II, you know, he knew about Faustina. He knew it was basically condemned at that time. And he said, reinvestigate it as cardinal. And 6 months later, as it passes, he becomes pope. The thing that's essential is to do what God wants. The final devotion that I give to my church before I return. Listen to what Our Lady said to Father Gobi. It's exactly what's going on today. Everything is being shown. But the greatest thing that's being shown is this Book of Heaven. This is the greatest. Volume 31, 925, 1932. And it happened that as she makes her rounds, as we pray our rounds, so does she take more love, more light of the knowledge and that she embellishes herself more in. So here, as you participate in your rounds, and then if you haven't started praying the rounds yet, this is something that's it's you're in heaven. As you begin to pray the rounds, you're in heaven, and it's everything that Louisa, everything that's written in the Book of Heaven is in the rounds. These aren't prayers of the saints. This is how Jesus and Mary taught Louisa how to pray. This is how Jesus prayed. This is how Mary prayed. Our Lady said, I'm going to teach you new and powerful prayers. And when we learn the command prayer, it's the way Peter prayed before he walked on the water. The command prayer. I mean, there's so many beautiful things that the Lord is showing us. Our prayer is very powerful. And we have been alive at this time, especially given the command prayer, to make sure that everything that God has planned happens. And it's take this prayer, Lord, and make it your command. You know, especially what we see in politics, especially what we see all over the world in the church, it's to pray with confidence. Pray, Jesus says, ask, believe that you have received it and it is yours. Well, I can believe that I receive it when I say, as Peter did, if you're the Messiah, take my prayer and let me walk to you. Jesus says, come. It's very simple. We say to the Lord, it's this humble prayer I put in your hands. Let it be your command. As Peter said, let me walk on the water. And then when Peter was walking on the water, you know, he went about 20 feet and then he sank, crawled out to Jesus. Jesus didn't go and go, great job, Pete. You walked 20 feet and then you sank. He goes, what is wrong with you? Why did you fail? Why did you falter? Where's your faith? Our prayer is necessary. And we pray with total confidence in God, total trust in God. Not what we want, but that he be the Lord of it. And again, we can be, even when we're praying from our family who might be very, very far away from God in the church, God is going to answer our prayers. Be confident in that. He doesn't want to lose them. Matter of fact, your prayer is probably God's prayer in you. He wants you to pray this so he can hear it and respond to you. Jesus says this in Matthew 31, 9:25, 1932. It is an enchantment to see the soul. As she makes her round, as she prays her rounds, she takes into herself the life of her God and she copies it. Do you want this? And it's astonishing. She takes into herself the life of her creator and she copies it. And my divine fiat gives her the right to hold her place of honor in its works. Image, likeness of God. The one who lives in our divine will is inseparable from us, triune God. And from the greatest to the littlest works created by us, triune God, its creative and unitive strength unites the soul with everything. First, Louisa. Of course, Our Lady does it as Mother of God, Theotokos. Jesus does it as Son of God. The first one of born of original sin, he says, unites her with everything. That's why we pray in the name of everyone and everything. We participate in all of creation, all of redemption, which is sanctification. An indissoluble and perennial bond with God and all of creation, all of redemption, all of sanctification. Volume 31, 10:30, 1932. So between heaven and earth, we have the intermediary before us and before creatures who with power of our divine fiat wants to bind heaven and earth. This is God working in us. And how not to be content with the soul, this is Louisa first, who lives in our divine will. Hopefully that's us as well. We want this. It would be as if we wanted to disconnect our very selves. To discontent our very selves. Sorry. Volume 31, 11/6/1932. I am. He uses God's name. He wants us to understand. This is of God. I am. Repeating the way I had in creation. I, God, would speak and operate. And my delight for the work that my words was producing was so great that one fiat of mine would dispose me to snatch from me another fiat and then yet another up to the point when my fiat stopped, when I saw that nothing was lacking to God's work of creation, but rather everything was sumptuous, everything was beautiful, everything was ordered in harmony, had harmony. In order to enjoy my works, I remained in them as life and guard of my own fiat. Now think about this. That's Jesus's word. Jesus is the word. He puts his word, his life, his guard, his all when he speaks to Louisa. And when Louisa writes those words, these words come alive in us. So when you read again what you've read before, he expands our capacity to understand more. This is the word of God speaking these words. He knows how much we're going to read. He knows how little we're going to read. He is the word, and he says, you can have 30, 60, or 100-fold. Whatever you want, I will give to you. The more that you read this, and this is the amazing thing, people have said this to me for 40 years now. They said, I read this, but I never read it. I never heard this before. I read this 100 times, and I've never heard this before. Why? He's expanding our capacity to understand this word of God. Jesus is speaking. He says there are many, many books out there, but this is the only book that will transform a soul. And he said, when this book comes out, the face of the earth will be transformed. That's what's happening. The book, the whole book came out in 1996. What's happened since 1996? The whole world has changed. Mostly to the bad, because the devil knows what's coming. But his 100 years is over. Now the kingdom is coming. We have to understand, this is a glorious time to be alive. A glorious time to be alive. And to be locked up in your prison of your own room and reading, listening to Jesus. Everything changes for you. You become what he says here. Everything sumptuous, beauty, order, harmony, to enjoy listening to Jesus. And I, God, remained in them as my life and guard of my own fiat. My fiat itself, with its power, bound me by in my works and rendered me inseparable from what I, God, am doing with each and every one of us. Inseparable from them, us, in his word. Volume 31, 12, 21, 19, 32. It can be said that in the exchange of wills, in these reciprocal gifts on both sides, a marriage takes place. This is why we wear the wet wedding ring. Louisa received the mystical marriage. She received the marriage of the cross. She received the renewal of the marriage. We wear the ring because Jesus has proposed to us. He's proposed to us, and we've accepted his proposal. And we wear the ring because we belong to him. He's coming to take us with him to the kingdom. And so each and every one of us should be thrilled to know what Jesus is saying. He says the exchange of wills, these reciprocal gifts on both sides, a marriage takes place between God and man, a repeated marriage, always, always new. And if when there is a marriage, all makes feast to the new spouses to sing the praises of their creator. Because with this gift of my fiat, it is not just the gift that I, God, give, but together with a gift, I give my life that forms the bond of inseparability in which lies the substance of the true marriage between the human and the divine. God came to earth for a bride. We are his bride, collectively as church, but individually. That's what he teaches Louisa. This individual marriage with each soul. Tell me, my love, why do you care so much about wanting the human will of the creature and wanting to give your own divine will to the creature? And Jesus says, do you want to know why? Because by taking her human will, I now place the creature in safety. And by giving her my own divine will, I take from her from all sides, and I place my life in safety within the soul. And since there is not one thing or person with which my divine will does not have its bonds of domination and of preservation, I, God, feel the fortunate creature together, one with God, in everything and in everyone. And then I can say with facts, not with words, what is mine is yours. I have done everything for you. That's our God. What is mine is yours. All of creation is yours, Jesus says. All of redemption is yours, Jesus says. All of sanctification is yours, Jesus says. Our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit says, everything that I have is yours. Do we live like that? Or are we worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, and negative? If we're worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, and negative, continuing to sin, it's because we don't believe this. If we believed, aught is mine is yours, I have done everything for you, we would be happy, peaceful, joyful. God's got great plans. The kingdom is coming. The kingdom is here for those who want it. That's the fulfillment of the Our Father is happening. As Archbishop Beccheri said, this is Luisa's job, to bring the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. And God gives us the book of heaven to work with Luisa to bring the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. As Our Lady said, all over the world, to bring peace, peace must be here first. Jesus says, the kingdom of God is within you. We have to live this first. Why? So it can be accomplished. Jesus has great plans, and he needs us to cooperate. He really does. Volume 32, 129, 1933. My little daughter of my divine will, you must know. Now, this is, again, a command from Jesus. You have to know this to begin to live in the divine will. That's why the book, You Must Know, read it if you can. To begin to live this abundant life is what God is asking of us. He says this, you must know that each truth, each manifestation, each knowledge, each promise that I've manifested on my divine will has been nothing other than a further approachment toward the creature. He's getting closer and closer. As we read, he's closer to us. As we study, he's closer to us. As we put into practice, he's closer to us. As our Supreme Being would speak, as Jesus speaks, so it would take an additional step towards them, towards mankind, who are reading them, studying them. And as you read it, your family is changing. Our nation is changing. The world is changing. Everything's changing as we read. When Jesus says, when you read the 24 hours of the Passion, especially during Lent, when you read this book, Jesus says, those areas that read the hours of the Passion, when the chastisement happens, which is coming, when it happens, the chastisement will be lessened in those areas where the 24 hours of the Passion are read. Why? It's Jesus speaking to us. Of course it's going to be lessened. Well, that's why get your parish to read the 24 hours of the Passion, especially during Lent. Watch what God is going to do. He says it very, very clearly. He says, as our Supreme Being would speak, so it would take an additional step towards them to place one more divine particle at their disposal. One more drop, one more spark, one more joy, one more happiness, and lay new bonds of union and of love towards mankind, towards the children of God returning back to the garden. We're going back to the garden. Listen to what Our Lady of Revelation said to Bruno in Rome in 1947, an approved apparition of the church. What does Our Lady say? Time has now come to an end. It's not the end of the world. It's the end of this era that Lucifer is running. It's over. Why do you think everything was shut down this year? God is getting something beautiful coming, wonderful coming, the kingdom. And he's trying to wake us up. This has never happened in the history of the church before, where all masses were shut down. Sacraments were stopped. Holy water was thrown out and putting, hand lotion in the place of holy water. You want to get rid of germs, but you don't want to get rid of the devil? Good things are coming. Great things are coming. Amazing things are coming. He's given us a pause to get us ready for what is really going to happen. The kingdom is coming. Jesus wants us to recognize that. Volume 32, 312, 1933. Not having an I love you in works so great and so marvelous, not being recognized would be as if our divine love remained deafened, but no. Among many, we have to find someone who would remain with us. That's Louisa. This is what I'm saying. Who has the true link to Jesus and Mary? Loving and operating. Who would give us the little requital so that our divine love may find its outpouring, its divine happiness on the part of the creature? He says, we have one, the newborn. And now he says, what I've given to Louisa, I want to give to the world. And as Louisa enters into our fiat, Louisa remains confirmed and bound in its divine acts in such a way that its binding virtue binds God and the creature. We become one with God as God wanted in the beginning with Adam. Jesus comes to earth as the new Adam. Mary comes to the new earth as the new Eve. And we are bound to one. No other saint understood the divine will. They learned how to do the will of God. But to live in the divine will was only given to Louisa. And now God is saying to us, I want you, if you wish, to have what I gave to her. 532-6-4-1933. My daughter, daughter of my heart, you are right in feeling the extreme need to be in the arms of the divine will. In fact, to be in the arms means to place oneself at God's disposal, to commit it into forming its life in the creature. If she does not place herself in the arms, she puts herself as though at a great distance, and divine life cannot be formed from afar, but only in closeness, or rather by being identified with the very life that the one wants to receive. The closeness, the fusion, God and man has to be there. And it's begun. Again, no mother conceives her baby from a distance, but inside her own womb. No seed germinates and forms its plant if it is not identified with and hidden under the earth. In the same way, to say that I, God, want to form the life of the divine will in me and not to remain in its arms, identified with it, bonding it with it, to live of its very omnipotent breath is impossible. God is going to do this. He's making it possible. He's coming to us in a way that he's been waiting for 6,000 years. We have been redeemed. Now God wants to sanctify us. That's what the divine will is all about. Volume 32, 7, 8, 1933. You must know that each act of the divine will that the creature undergoes and voluntarily offers herself to receive, this link of union that she forms and acquires with her God, with her creator. It can be said that this link encloses God and the creature inside. It connects them together, one with God, together with God, makes them live a one single life with God, and forms the inseparability of one from the other. This is the sanctity of sanctities. This is what sanctification is all about. This is the new era that's coming. Listen, he says this. It connects them together, God and man. Makes them live of one single life, God and man, forms the inseparability of one from the other, God and man, as God originally planned. So as many acts as my divine will, so many links in such a way that a long chain appears in which they both remain linked and connected together, both on both sides. We become one with God again, as God planned it for Adam in the beginning. We go back to the womb of the Father to begin again what God planned. And it is not only link, but bond of stability, bond of divine intermutability, so that the creature is no longer subject to changing, immutable. See, this is, again, the divine will is to share this life of immutability with God. Adam was supposed to live forever. But because he sinned, this body has to die. The glorified body is coming. You have to understand what Jesus is saying. This is so firm. He said the creature is no longer subject to changing. So firm and stable, she does she feel in the bosom of her celestial Father, back to where we were at the beginning. Therefore, with all certainty, she can say, my dwelling is in God. Is that our dwelling? Can we say every morning when we wake up, my dwelling is with you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? That's what God's waiting to hear from us. That's why he gave us the book of heaven, to learn how and why this is going to happen. Nor do I know or recognize anything but my Creator, my God, my spouse, my love, my life. This is what God's waiting for. Now, this link of union, this bond of stability, produces perennial fecundity. And with this fecundity, the creature generates continuous love, continuous goodness, continuous fortitude, continuous grace, continuous patience, continuous sanctity, and all, listen to this, the divine virtues, not human, not saintly, divine virtues that possess the bilocating virtue in such a way that while the creature possesses them, she can bilocate them, giving them to whomever she wants, to whomever wants them. You worried about your family? Begin to live in the divine will. You worried about the church? Begin to live in the divine will. You worried about your nation? Begin to live in the divine will. You can give it to whomever you want. That's God's promise. That's one of the truths that God manifested to Louisa. If once you have it, you can give it. But if you don't have it, how can you give anything you don't have? God wants us to recognize this. On the other hand, for the one who does not let my divine will operate, her acts are like broken links. They have no virtue to enclose God and the creature. And because they are broken, they escape from inside of the soul. And therefore, she can form neither the bond of stability nor any fecundity, but are sterile acts that produce no generation of good. Be fruitful and multiply, Jesus said. That's what the divine will is. Volume 32, 8, 6, 19, 33. My blessed daughter, as you offer our acts in creating Adam and those of innocent Adam to impetrate the kingdom of my divine will, you have repeated for us, triune God, the divine joys we felt in creating Adam. Everything was good. And you have formed new bonds of union between the divine will and the human will. It was our very acts that formed the place in which to create Adam and the administer to Adam the divine life in order to animate Adam. In the same way, our acts shall form the way to make mankind re-enter into our divine will. How do you learn God's own acts? It's from the book of heaven. He's teaching us. Volume 32, 10, 1, 1933. A continued act encloses such divine power that God cannot unbind himself from the creature, nor can the creature from God. On the contrary, they feel the irresistible need to remain clasped to each other. And not only my divine will knows how to produce these continued acts that never cease and to form the true character of the living in my divine will. So God is saying, you're going to learn how to do continuous acts that enclose such divine power that God cannot invite himself from the soul. Why? God is doing it in us. When people say, well, I'm doing divine acts, that's crazy. Humans can't do divine acts. Jesus in us does it. Jesus breathe in my breathing. Jesus beat in my heart beating. Jesus gaze in my gazing. Jesus is doing it. That's why it's a divine act. With such power that God cannot unbind himself from the soul. Who is doing this? As we learn how to pray the rounds, God is doing it. We step out of the way and say, Jesus, I want you to reign completely in, with, through, and for me. Volume 32, 10, 22, 1933. Your littleness, your childlike manners and my divine will embraces everything and everyone. The divine will is for children. Those that are little. Father Bucci used to say, to live in the divine will, you have to be little, insignificant, and hidden. It's not about us. It's about how great our God is, how magnificent our God is. You want to give me everything? Up to the very adorable Trinity. And since you are little, no one wants to deny you anything. On the contrary, they unite with you and love together with you, the tiny little one. And by bringing me all into the all, and by loving me, you diffuse the all into the all. My love being bound of union and inseparability, I, God, then find everything in your soul. My paradise, my works, and everyone. And I can say I lack nothing, neither heaven, nor my celestial mother, nor the cortege of the angels and the saints. All are with me and all love me. We're one with God. Image and likeness of God, not of us. That's why it's so good to be little and to be nothing. That's why go to your room, close the door and pray. Become one with God. Why? Then Jesus says, I, God, can say, I lack nothing, neither heaven nor earth, and its lesser mother, the cortege of the angels and saints, all are with me and all love me in this soul. In, with, through, and for us, God wants to live. You want to change the face of the earth? Begin to live in the divine will. Begin to learn what this is about. Study it. Put this into practice. The more you learn this, the happier you become. Why? God is with you. He says, I find everything in the soul, my paradise, my works, and everyone. I lack nothing, God says, in this soul who's living in the divine will. So we'll end there. We'll be back in an hour and 15 minutes. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.